This is the Amateur Skeptics Podcast number 350. I'm your host, Brian. Joining this evening, Mac.
In that podcast, Hi Unco Godcat.
Mad Cat is here.
Making around.
The dumbass himself.
Withering my way into your ear hole.
And did I introduce myself? I'm Brian.
Just Hi, here. Brian.
Hi.
Are you here to be on the,
I thought you might have been going somewhere there.
I did have an idea, but it just went away.
Yeah, well, it sounded like you were onto something. You were going to try and have a real zinger there for me.
Podcast Anonymous.
Well, I did.
Anonymous.
Yeah, it's no longer anonymous as soon as you tell people your name.
That's a good point. Alcoholics Anonymous, the fuck are all your lies about? We can clearly see that people stand up and give their names.
What?
It's part of the meetings.
Right, yeah, how can that be anonymous? You get up there and you tell people, hi, I'm so-and-so and I'm an alcoholic. I guess the anonymous part is you're not supposed to tell people outside the group who was there, right? They're probably not keeping...
Well, what happens in the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting stays in the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting.
Exactly.
It's actually a sex club.
I suspect that's not true, but you'd think that people would be happier when they're...
I'm guessing there's at least one Alcoholics Anonymous that's actually a sex club.
Oh, okay, they're probably...
There's one out there somewhere.
You think so?
And I will find it.
Considering the religious nature of it, I'll bet you that there's probably a 12-step who have sexual addiction, right? That's probably out there. Oh, haven't we covered that? Isn't what the NoFap kind of is?
I think step one on that is find a priest.
I thought we were not
step
having sex.
Step two is listen to them insult you, but...
I thought step one was make a hole in that box.
And then you put your junk in the box?
Yeah.
No, step two is listen the priest insult you for what you are.
I feel like that may be a segue.
To our sponsor. No.
We have a sponsor?
No, but that's a direct... That's a direct line to the what I was telling you about before the podcast.
Actually, no, Brian, you're incorrect. This episode is brought to you by the number 200,000 and the letters D, J, and T.
Ah.
I thought it was the numbers 315.
So I should tell you before we get going on to
get a little bit of that letter and number cash that Sesame Street is so like hooked into. They should be sponsoring us as well.
Ah.
And reading Rainbow?
So to call back to last week's content, that dumbass was had some concerns about. I read two books that are kind of related to that. I read Untrue and I read What Women Want, and I would say that both of those are pretty insightful. To connect back to the topics that I was looking at last week that I kind of took a dive into, and I'm probably done with now.
Wait, which topics are those again?
Basically, how society tells us women are what women are supposed to want. These books actually tell them what they want. Basically, they're humans and they want sex just like men. And they get bored of you quicker than you. Then you get quicker of them. Get bored of them.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah.
I mean, women like men are individuals. There may be like certain trends, but you can't treat them all the same.
Nope, that's true too, right? So that's a big part of these books as well. So I just want to mention that. So those two books go along with that discussion. But I guess it's time to move on to today's content. So
it is time for Dumbass's Masturbation Moment, brought to you by the Dumbass Media Empire.
The Amateur Skeptics present Ian's Masturbation Moment, brought to you by the Dumbass Media Empire. The Dumbass Media Empire, bringing you content that touches people while they touch themselves.
Oh,
Mad Cat's masturbating today too, huh?
Not me. I'm not. I keep on saying you don't put things that are not supposed to be in any holes in those holes. So.
That sounds fair. Are we starting with that, or are we starting with says he
Liam
Liam Neeson says he stopped going.
Liam Neeson avowed masturbating.
Is that it's up to conversation about being scolded for masturbating? What do we got here? What is this?
Okay, let me set this. This is a an interview that Liam Neeson did with Conan O'Brien on his podcast. So he tells a story about when he was younger. He had learned about masturbation and pleasuring himself. It's just a fun story. It's good to see when actors normalize these things that have happened. He got yelled at by a missionary for having confessed to masturbating. Reamed out on it, and it really soured on him and he's like, yeah, he made the decision never to go to confession. That seems reasonable to me. The religion says that something's wrong with masturbating. It's your religion.
Yeah.
Well, Neeson, yeah. Liam Neeson was the title role in the film Kinsey. So
I haven't seen that movie.
It's parts of it are rather uncomfortable, but it's very interesting.
Okay.
He says, this guy, literally, I mean, he almost said things like, the grass will grow over the palm of your hand before you're 21. Stop that evil practice.
The grass will grow over your palm. I've heard hair, but grass? That's one step further than hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, apparently he has a particular set of skills. I just...
Well, pissing off missionaries?
Okay, that's another one.
But it illustrates just how poisonous and how it's silly how much, anger and just, feeling that we put into shaming other people for doing this thing. It's you touch a part of your body and it feels good and we're all, about it. It's so silly. Yeah, it is silly.
Well, but you know what? If people weren't masturbating, God wouldn't have had to invent LASIK.
Or don't do it in a theater.
We found out a long time ago that it feels good to shame people for things we want to do but don't.
Well, and that's interesting, right? That's exactly. Yeah, it's masturbators, shaming other people for masturbating.
Yep.
It's so.
I suppose it makes sure it's not a sense if you've been denying yourself all this that you would get mad at somebody who's willfully doing it and pleasuring. Like, hey, get in line here. I'd rather be doing that too. Why do you get to?
I can't.
And it doesn't say what kind of mission, a Catholic.
Well, I mean, what churches have confession?
Well, so the Anglican Church would have confession, I think. Okay. The Catholic Church certainly does. And I think that there are probably others that have that it was certainly a way to get information about your. Seems like a good way to keep up on what's going on in actual people's lives, or it's a way for priests to get off since they're not supposed to do since they're not supposed to get off themselves. Right?
And confession is 9/10 of the. Wait, maybe that's not.
That is an interesting question, though. What religions have confession? Because it's not a Baptist, right? They don't confess. You confess directly to God, but not through an emissary.
Yeah.
Well, that's the same as the Starvation Army. Salvation Army, sir. What?
The Salvation Starvation Army. Yeah. The Salvation Army. That they are. We've talked about them before.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, although they are a lot more popular than the Salvation.
True, they are.
Is that the one I'm thinking of? Which are the ones that put the that always have the Santa Claus is out collecting money?
It's a Salvation Army.
Okay, it is. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
A Salvation Navy, you pretty much just have you've got a drum and...
Yep. And let's not even talk about the Salvation Space Force.
Or their submarine bases.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think that they did anything. I thought that was primarily Catholicism. So probably any Catholicism should probably have it. I don't know the Protestant.
By the way, I figured out that it's actually possession that's 9/10 of the law, which means technically it's illegal for a priest to try an exorcism.
Is it illegal or just unethical?
No, it's illegal for them to try. It's illegal for them to try an exorcism because possession is 9/10 of the law.
There was a time when I was keeping track of that kind of stuff, people dying of exorcisms, because it seemed like for a while there, it seems like there's constantly a story about that. So somebody went to exorcise some young woman and killed them.
They killed them while they were exorcising?
Giving them an exorcism.
I know.
Like choking them or something?
They would do different things. Yeah, choking, I think, was part of it. I think that, I don't know, I forget all the stories that we had
Throw
heard.
Things on them, put them on fire, toss them in water, kind of like the old days.
Yeah, for a while there, it seemed like we at the early days of the podcast, that was one of the things I was kind of looking for and keeping track of and bring up those stories that they have. But I haven't looked at that in a while. But, I doubt that it's gotten any better, right?
Probably has not.
I don't think they have any new technique.
These kind of things wax and wane to know how they're...
They might wax them or something.
Yep, anyway, back to waxing off.
Yeah, anyway, let's continue waxing off. But now, can a snake? I can't. How did?
Well,
what is?
Can I think the next one?
Oh,
was...
the next one. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped one.
Yeah, all right. You did.
So, yeah. Can masturbating more help you lose weight? Can masturbating help you lose weight? Well, that'd be a lot of masturbating, I suspect.
Yep.
Yeah. So this is a kind of a short article, a little fun here. The question posed, you know, can masturbating help you lose weight? There have been like certain claims in some places of like how many calories you can burn through sexual intercourse, although hard to get like a reliable estimate on that. Partner sex is saying here like an FU calorie, and well, how long are you doing that for? I suppose like, yeah, it's theoretically possible. Like if you, I guess, do it a lot to the illusion of food or something.
It seems like a lot. I mean, here's the, and the other thing is that how much, like masturbating itself, how much cardio do you get from it? It can't be a lot. I don't think your heart rate's going up that much while you're masturbating.
No. Looking at it, that's probably not a mechanism that can allow you to lose weight. They do say here that sexual arouser does repress ghrelin, the hunger.
Okay.
So it's possible that that kind of thing could help reduce hunger, but there aren't any really studies that have determined that at this time. So theoretically, it's possible it could have a role in that, but nobody's really confirmed that.
It's a myth that people like to...
In any case, it won't help you lose weight, but... It has a lot of other health benefits, so might as well do it, I'd say.
Well, I mean, there's no reason not to do it. I'm just not sure that if you're looking to lose weight, that that's the best strategy.
People,
it shouldn't be the cornerstone of your strategy in any case.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah, that's...
The masturbation diet.
Mm-hmm.
This only applies to humans. What about if you were a snake?
Well, apparently snakes do. At least the red-sided gar snake have a tendency of... possibly losing a fair amount of weight during sex. Actually, many snakes do, but this information I found was specifically about the red-sided garter snake.
Is that this one? Which, so male snakes suspend mega calories they mate?
Yep, because they have a copulatory plug, a gelatinous copulatory plug that they put in the female so that others can't push them out of them.
Okay.
And they use, of course, part of their resources in order to make this plug instead of like a dog, which just blows their penis up, bulb.
So
that's how they do it.
So mammals such as dogs, you know, and I think I think there's several animals that have that kind of a bulb that allows them to so once they're attached, they can't easily pull out. You know, so they can do the insemination process.
Yeah, like cats have a spine. What?
So the snake, after it copulates, inserts a plug that prevents another snake from mating with...
While they're copulating.
Oh, this is while they're copulating. So, okay.
Right, because they... garter snakes copulate in one heck of an orgy.
Okay.
So when they copulate with the female, they don't want another male doing it at the same time they're doing it. And I believe they... Oh, it also prevents the sperm from leaking out of the female.
Okay.
And they delay the female from mating immediately. So they spend a lot of energy creating that ejaculate.
Okay, that plug.
Right. So they're finding that they have a lot of energy consumption. There are other snakes that, like the ball python, which basically is, well, they don't have this plug, but they will keep copulating. Even to the point of not eating.
Yeah, during mating season, and I know that. So once they gravid, they no longer.
The female.
Yeah, the
correct.
Females.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think that I don't think that applies to all ball pythons. I think it only applies to the blue one.
Because they have blue balls.
Explaining the joke makes it so much fun. All right, moving on.
Can a snake crawl inside your body?
Can it? I'm
well,
guessing no.
They say
it does not have permission.
While it is possible for a snake to enter your body, it is highly unlikely. The snakes are not known for doing this. Plus,
so is this but why does this come up? Tell me why. I mean, why are we even answering this?
I was starting on myths.
Right. Okay. So what's the myth?
The myth is that snakes can crawl inside your body.
But where does this myth come from?
I don't know. Weirdos.
Well, you are an investigative journalist.
I've heard of the guy who, what was it, a hamster removed from his anus. That's a
that one we went through right?
That's why he bought
back.
The cat.
Yeah, and this is just another one where they say that they can get in, but this article per se says that they lack the ability to climb vertical surfaces. That I think is their own myth because.
It would depend on the surfaces. You know, snakes can climb trees and stuff like that. Also,
yeah,
depending on the snake, but snakes can get into your toilet. They can come up through your toilet.
Right, but it's not likely they're going to get into your body because your body has its own defenses for pushing things out.
Right. Yeah.
And the snake would have to be going against that.
I just,
the same type of movement, basically, does, not getting in.
It doesn't make any sense. I'm wondering where this. I think the origins of it might be more interesting than the idea.
Yep. I would like to hear the urban legend that children are telling about whoever got the snake inside of them.
You go into a mirror and you say three times. Snakey Mary, Snakey Snake Mary, Mary. Okay, yeah. Snakey Mary.
I was going to say, it's the one you tell after you tell the Bloody Mary one.
Bloody.
I'm a little confused about one line in the article where it says snakes do not have any natural predators in the human body, so they would be unable to survive if they did enter your body.
Well, wait, that doesn't make any sense. That's in there?
Exactly. That's in there. I read it three times, and it didn't make any more sense any time I read it.
Where's this from? What is the source on that? What website is that?
Taphibians.
Yeah, what the heck is...
It's apparently about snakes and lizards and goldfish and frogs and turtles and stuff.
And a lot about the Herman tortoise, according to what I'm seeing on...
So it's got turtles, frogs, goldfish, lizards, snakes, crocodiles...
DMCA.
Well, it,
I think it's a digital content.
It's their digital content.
That's their information about why and what.
It's just weird that that's one of their headings, right? So you got, then you got the privacy policy in terms of use. But it's like all these animals and then DMCA.
Their DMCA is enforced by an anaconda.
Oh, well, okay.
I've been thinking about the whole climbing of, and any snake that can climb a tree. Can climb up a human leg.
Sure.
Yeah. But the thing is that there's not much of a chance of it doing so.
You wouldn't think.
Yeah, you would think. But a lot of people don't.
So venomous sea snakes are trying to have sex with scuba divers, study says.
Yeah.
That's okay. I like it.
It's researchers in Australia have found that large venomous sea snakes known to approach scuba divers might not be looking to harm them, just to mate with them. Basically, it says instead they're probably interested in mating. They have the.
Imagine if you were able to get poisoned that way.
I mean, that's a fairly venomous snake too, right? I mean,
they're known as olive sea snakes, and they are very venomous. Yes, but
danger
they swim
mating.
Towards. Yeah, they. tend to swim towards divers with misdirected courtship responses. They found the instances of the snakes approaching the divers and was most common during this breeding season in August. The snakes who approached them were male.
Really? Okay.
So when they'd get up to the person, they would coil around a limb and stuff like that, which are seen during their courtship. They'll coil around each other. So they're
you're a big snake, aren't you?
Big baby.
Seeing as they're not a constrictor, right? That doesn't seem like a behavior that you would do if you were attacking.
That's true.
Yeah.
the Republican in me has to say that if the divers weren't asking for it, they wouldn't be dressed like that and they wouldn't be down there.
Apparently, if you just hang there in the water and wait for it to check you out, it'll rapidly work out that you're not interested and go away. Not interesting and go away.
They're not known for being aggressive snakes.
No, they're not.
You have to be pretty nervous around
snakes.
Something that's that venomous.
Well, sure, right? I would be.
Yeah.
You know, the weird thing about it is that if they're coiling around your leg, snakes are generally not leg people. You know, they're more into asses.
That is true.
All right. Sounds like we better move on.
Sounds like.
All right. So what do we? Okay. Well, Mac, what do you got here?
What do I got here? I got the. I've got a lucky number for everybody in the United States. The number P01135809. That is a very, very important.
Why is this in here, Mac? What are you telling me?
Because it's Donald Trump's inmate number.
And his bail. Really?
And his bail is $200,000. $200,000.
That is $250,000. Is it just $200,000?
I saw $200,000. Giuliani had $150,000.
Yeah, which he can't pay.
Yeah, I know. And Trump went to a bail bondsman too. I think that's more likely to be that he plans on stiffing the bail bondsman than that he actually can't pay.
Here's the thing. He had tried to get for one of the previous indictments, he tried to get a bail bond and no bail bondsman. So I'm kind of surprised that he didn't have to pony up the whole two.
Probably.
But
I'm thinking about the fact that if he jumps bail, they may have to send a bounty hunter.
You think the dog will come out of retirement again? When did he do that last time? What was the last stupid thing he was involved in?
The last stupid thing he was involved in was the case where the guy killed his girlfriend on vacation and then came back home. I don't remember what the guy's name was.
And then they were looking for him. And, of course, eventually he...
Yep.
Right, well...
Because people were probably harassing.
I don't know that I really want to get into the...
No, I just wanted
to... Okay. Let's move on. Dumbass, what do you...
Well, all right. I've got an interesting story. Headline is that flying aliens harassing village in Peru are actually illegal miners with jetpacks, cops say.
What?
Yeah, this is... right. This indigenous community in Peru, where there have been reportings of strange beings and... flight. It just got weirder since they've investigated. Let me see if I can find the actual who made the announcement. But here we go. Carlos Castro Quintanilla, the lead investigator in the case, said that 80% of illegal gold dredging is located in the Nanay River Basin, where the Iquitu community is located. The claim that they're using state-of-the-art technology like thrusters that allow people to fly using jetpacks. So yeah, without any evidence of these jetpacks or these illegal miners, they released this thing saying, and there's some sort of video that was posted as well, blurry and unclear that of something.
What are they mining?
Gold.
Gold. It's gold.
Because here's the thing. So I just looked up, there's a jetpack. This is the JB-11 jetpack and the price of it. This jetpack is somewhere between $300,000 and $400,000 for the year. And that's before, I believe, you can rent this for about $5,000. I'm not sure what the time frame. So the idea...
And then, of course, it's also they'll be noisy.
Right.
And you'll have to, extremely. Keep them fueled up and everything.
Yeah.
This is basically, one of the... This is basically the... The guy is hallucinating a Scooby-Doo episode.
Right. I'm calling...
Yeah.
I'm calling bullshit on this just based on the economics.
This sounds exactly like a Scooby-Doo plot.
It does.
You know,
it's just pure gold. Sorry. Go ahead.
No.
I think there was actually an episode like this.
Probably. Yeah, somebody watched too many Scooby-Doo episodes, and I guess we're just probably not aliens, so, this is the more likely thing, illegal miners. You know, there probably are illegal miners, I guess. That's a thing that exists.
So
have they caught any of them? If they haven't caught any of them, how do they know they're underage?
We were thinking the same thing.
it's just one of those things that it's the explanation is absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
You know,
this was the official explanation given by the RPP. This is the thing that they're going on. Illegal gold mining gangs from Colombia and Brazil using advanced flying technology to terrorize the community. So basically, yeah, exactly the monsters in Bidu who are trying to scare people off so that they could have control of the land or something.
You know, I do know, though, that that investigator, I know why he decided to let his beard grow. Yeah, because he lost Occam's razor.
Uh-huh.
Stories like this are pure gold.
I just wonder, the other piece of it that to compound this, how much do you think that they could carry? So an ounce of gold right now, An ounce of gold is $1,910. So I'm not. So let's say that you rented this thing. I don't know, an hour, right? That cost you $5,000 to make this profitable. How? I mean, you've got to be able to carry quite a bit of gold to recover the costs of operating that. And then how about you need? I don't know, well, 4 ounces. Yeah, well, maybe 4 ounces. Maybe you can do it. I mean, what? 8 ounces of gold. Maybe.
Well,
profitable.
I mean, the idea is that the jetpacks are to, like, scare the locals, I think, which, okay. So, like, I guess if you figure that works, you don't have to do that too often, but I don't think that would actually work, like, using jetpacks to scare the locals. I mean, like, if people report, like, alien being, you know, like, that'll just draw more people.
Well, maybe they're acting like Captain Caveman.
Yeah, but, you know, this isn't the United States. They don't necessarily flock to alien sightings, do they?
I think they run away from them.
That's what you know, smart people do, is they run away from them. They don't show up with soccer ball.
Right. You don't run towards the demon.
I don't know.
You were talking about rental costs at $5,000. I don't know if that even touches upon operation costs.
Well, I don't know either. I mean, that you might have to pay. I mean, I have no idea. And I didn't look up any. I didn't go into that. It just says
there's only been one practical alcohol-fueled jetpack that was ever built, and that was built by Howard Hughes in the 1940s.
Right. So I'm assuming that these are probably jet fuel, right? High octane jet fuel that you would need to operate them. And I don't know even what the I don't know how long they were operating them. I mean, it's you get a 20-minute flight out of one, and they can fly up to 20 feet in the air. So it's not even that high in the air.
And it's not that far away to.
No.
Are these the jet packs that only work over water?
No, this is not a water jetpack. This is this is literally strapping a jet engine.
Okay. By the way, the thing
you
I
probably
said
have
about
to wear like a special suit or something.
I imagine, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and that special suit makes you look like an alien.
I don't know.
What I was saying about the Howard Hughes jetpack, by the way, that was fictional.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a movie called The Rocket.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Howard Hughes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna say I think if this actually was a thing and people like some yahoos were just like buying jetpacks in order to scare locals, somebody would have gotten injured by now.
But here's the thing: there are cheaper ways to scare off the locals.
Right.
I mean, if it's true, whoever's doing this has some really high operating costs and a lot of capital. It must be a lot of gold involved to, you know, if this is the case.
I saw another analysis of this, I think, that said that actually, like, the place where they're going to be mining, where they're said to be mining, is a place that nobody visits anyway. Why would anybody need to scare anybody off?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Presumably, wow. they're doing this mining illegally, right?
Illegal mining.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably easier to mine legally and cheaper.
Yeah.
I mean, you could probably buy the land.
There's got to be a gold vein for you to get to, and usually, you know, that takes a lot of work.
I thought I was talking about dredging.
Still,
basically
okay.
Getting gold out of water.
Well, okay, even less likely then that you're going to be coming up with the amount of gold that you need to cover your costs. I mean, how much gold are they getting from dredging?
16 cents.
I don't know. And also, I mean, like, you go panning for gold, right? And you get a flake of gold, right? I mean, I don't know. It just seems like the economics don't work for me. But I could be wrong. Maybe. They're downstream of something that's putting off a lot of gold, and maybe it's actually...
It's just, like you said, it doesn't add up.
I mean, maybe it does add up, and we need to buy jetpacks.
I mean, it would be interesting to get some, like, real scientific investigators in there to, like, question people and talk about this stuff. Or maybe what we probably just need is 4 meddling kids and a dog.
Exactly, that's all you need.
That's a good idea.
If it's a jetpack, just send some hillbillies down. They'll take care of it.
With soccer balls.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's what we do here. Mm-hmm. But
right,
now
we talk about crazy stories.
Holy moly! What all have you got here, Cat? Okay, get started here. What are we doing?
What we are doing is two YouTube videos and incorrect and correct informations about animals. Today is snakes. So, Watop, WATOP, it's a pretty good one. They say, please stop believing in nonsense. That's why snakes grow stones in their heads. It's very interesting because they actually go through things that you'd think were myth, but they are not. And one of the things that they discussed in different segments, actually, is snakes eaten by insects, ticks, this huge water bug that actually gets small, and spiders actually attack them, which a lot of people probably don't know. You've seen those things with people pulling rocks out of his head. The rocks are supposed to remove venom.
The rock is supposed to move venom? No, I...
Yeah, apparently it grows in their head and it takes out venom somehow. It's weird. It sounds very weird. But there is a rock, but they haven't proven this kind of thing.
Okay. It sounds crazy. I'm wondering what the mechanism might be there.
I really don't understand it myself. I was kind of confused, but apparently some snakes do grow a rock in their head, but there's nothing special about it, and people are killing the snakes because of they're trying to get this rock that will apparently pull out snake venom when you put it on a bite.
So they're using this as some sort of holistic medicine, where basically you got the rock from the snake of the head, and if you put it on a snake bite of shit, it'll magically pull out the venoms.
Exactly. The next one was snakes and centipedes, which two different versions of snakes beaten by centipedes. See, that was some of those big ones. I don't want near them. They are fast. They are I've seen centipedes scary, and snakes that capture centipede them instead. So it has that is a truism.
So centipedes, and maybe millipedes, are the ones that are actually poisonous, right? Are centipedes poisonous?
Some of them
are.
Actually, it would be more venomous because of the factor that they...
Are they biting? I thought they secreted. I thought they secreted, like, lemurs will, like, take a millipede and lick it.
Oh, yeah, right. That's true, too.
Centipedes are the creepier-looking ones, right?
Millipedes have more legs than centipedes. They're all kind of creepy-looking.
Centipedes are whole... They can get whole kind of big. They can get as big as mine.
I think you're right that they're probably venomous, but I was wondering if any of them secreted
the centipedes,
I
believe, have like a wider stance on spider crawl type of deal.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, where these centipedes have a segmented section.
Okay.
And they're, if you want to gross out, watch a centipede. It's no.
I'm down with that. I like those big centipedes. I mean, they are creepy. You're right. Like the big one that lives in Arizona. Huge thing.
Yeah.
The giants. What that's called? But yeah, I think you're right that they might have venom, but they're not poisonous. They don't secrete a millipede.
Yeah. If I remember, they might have mentioned it, but it's been a long day. So, I have friends who have these
that have that
so
have
I
centipedes.
Yeah.
I mean, and I guess, do they handle them or do they just have
them? Oh, no. They have them. Okay. And they use them for feeding videos, for educational.
Okay.
Right. So, yeah.
So they're ethical about it, I guess.
You can be, you have to feed them.
Sure.
But, you know, the thing is, might as well videotape and show people what happened. Yeah. I've watched a couple of them, but I don't like watching them. The guys know I don't like watching because it's just so, it's hard to explain, really. I mean, when they're cutting up the animal and the animal is partially alive at that period,
The centipede is
probably
doing this.
Dead because the centipede does envenomate.
It does?
They're prey, yeah. Usually, honestly, I better look this up because I am forgetting exactly. Venomous. Yeah, centipedes are venomous.
Okay, they are. Okay. It makes sense.
Their bites are rare in human, but when they happen, they can cause mild to moderate pain.
Yeah, they're not.
I've heard worse.
Yeah.
And
they're
can
not
have
taken
reactions
out of human.
If you're
yeah.
allergic and everything. The sucker'd probably kill me. Well, I'm allergic to spiders and seafoods and crustaceans type of thing. So it would probably kill me.
Mac could live. Mac's too bitter to be killed by a centipede.
That's one of those ones where you go to heaven or hell, and you know people laugh at you. dying from a centipede.
Yeah, no, Mac. It wouldn't happen to Mac. That I know for
wouldn't
sure.
Wouldn't happen to Mac.
Nope.
No, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure if a centipede bites, the centipede dies.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it. I got a whole bunch of pictures of the giant desert centipedes in Arizona. Mm-hmm. It is a really cool looking creature. Yeah, and it is creepy. They're awesome.
Oh yeah, they are awesome. I can admit that, and there are videos of people.
So it makes me. So what's the myth? I guess I got away from what the myth was that they were busting.
Well, the people have incorrect information on whether a snake can kill a millipede or a millipede can kill a snake. They keep on saying one or the other, but the thing is, it's both.
Okay.
Right. Then there's also the they refer to the squeezing that the snake does.
Right. So the constriction, right?
Right. It's a constriction. However, they're not trying to constrict the breathing, stop the breathing.
What do they try to do? Because here's what I thought it was. I thought like with a boa wrapped around you, that what it would do is wait for you to breathe out. When you breathe out, then it would constrict, right?
And so you couldn't breathe
more in. Is that not true? What is it actually doing?
No, that's not true. Apparently what it does, let me get the exact, because there's a whole bunch of information about what the snake does and the constriction. The constriction stops the heart. It's not that they're trying to stop you from breathing. They're trying to stop the muscles from moving. And
so they're cutting off. It's circulatory as opposed to respiratory.
Exactly.
Okay.
I
think I had heard that before too, but I mean, it's got to affect. You'd figure that affects the breathing as well, right?
Yeah, it would affect the breathing, but that's not the main.
But that's not really what they're trying to do. Cutting off the blood flow.
Right. Okay. So, people think that snakes don't do things with other snakes, and you can put them all together willy-nilly.
You cannot
snakes
do that.
Will eat other snakes.
So, like a king snake in particular, has been known. I'm not sure what other species do that, but the king snake will definitely do that.
The king snake will do that. There are different types of cobras that might do that.
Okay.
A lot of different. They will eat smaller snakes because, well, it's food, you know. And it's easy to swallow. There's things like that. I think that in here as well, it points out there was this video about it had a cobra, and it came out of a hole and such. And it had another snake in its nose.
Huh, okay.
Which it had accidentally probably thought that was another cave or something and went up the nose.
That's
weird.
Seems unlikely.
That's another can they get in your body?
Yeah, that sounds like an urban myth to me. I'd like to have more citations.
Video.
It was you saw it was in the video?
It shows it's in the video.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
the
really surprising
video.
I'll watch the video. I will be watching the video.
Yeah. Then they have about Ouroboros, the snake in the circle biting its tail type of thing.
Yeah, sure.
Going in a circle. Sometimes they will get caught in that type of situation where they are in a circle, per se. One way is that they confuse their tail with another snake, which has happened. It's really weird, but
sure,
they have done that. And also, they have a video of a snake that had gotten fused, had accidentally somehow hooked itself up to its shedding. So it was going in a circle around in a shed that it had shed.
Okay.
And it did that for quite a while until it finally found a tear or was able to tear a spot out that it could get out of.
Damn roundabouts.
Yep, damn roundabouts. But yeah, it's true, they can spot. And the last one for the Wahtop is they had brown in Guam that they were trying to get rid of. So they used rats to try this. There's no specified how well it's working or not working at the point of time, but there were crows and they definitely were eaten by the brown.
Okay.
But they were using rats to kill off them.
So
go figure. I don't know. People do strange.
I'm looking at your list here, and a lot of some of the I can't like crazy. Do snakes poop? Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Well, This one is zoologist reacts to common snake myths and misconceptions.
Oh, okay. So this is the next article. Okay.
That's the next article, which is from Clint's Reptiles.
Okay.
And I suggest that people actually go see that because Clint Reptiles is great. Clint is hilarious. He's really got his information, and when he if he thinks that the information is incorrect, he'll go and look it up. But apparently they called up last year. They were trying to do skeletons for Halloween. So they couldn't find snake skeletons. So they called up this snake place and they said, oh, well, they don't make snake skeletons because snakes have no bones.
Ah, that's not true. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Really? Wow.
I'm not kidding. And yeah.
Wow.
Clint and the, I guess it was his wife with him at the time, and his wife laughed, just burst out at that point. And they went to the place, and the person who was there actually tried to prove it, tried to say, no, you are wrong and everything, and all that other stuff. So, very interesting, very interesting.
That is
crazy. This was Reptile Place?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. Maybe it was Petco or something. I don't know.
I mean, it wasn't scales until.
You know, and that brings up the question about, you know, scary skeletons on Halloween. Why do people sell dinosaur skeletons as being frightening? That's their natural condition right now.
Yeah.
That's what they look like when we see them in the museum. That's not frightening.
Yep. The next myth that they looked at was snakes lay by you to measure you.
Yeah, that's not true.
That's not true.
That is so
not true.
The snake's
not even big enough. It has to get down
the snake. The snake has a pretty good idea before it starts. I mean, they can get it wrong, but they have a pretty good idea. They size you up already.
Well, they would have sized you up well before that.
Yeah.
And they're not going to try to, and they're ambush predators.
Right.
If they are hungry, they're going to eat what they think they can. So snakes are not hungry. You know, they eat once a week or once every couple weeks.
They're opportunistic. So, they eat when they can. I mean,
right. And people usually feed them once a week to once every week, something like that.
It depends on the snake, right? And what their diet consists of. But generally, when I had snakes, it was once a week, once every 2 weeks. And it depended on, you know, on their environment. But that's generally the case.
And the personality and all that other
stuff.
Yeah. This one that people have said,
what's that?
Snakes are slimy.
Oh. Oh yeah, that's crazy. I've always heard that people are like they do. I mean, they're a little shiny when you look at them sometimes. It's like, but no, they're not slimy. That's just crazy.
No, not Possibly unless you
water
have
snakes.
Well,
depends.
They're not slimy. They're wet.
Yeah, they are usually in slime. It's not that their body produces any slime.
Yeah.
However, there are a few types that do have slime that comes out of them.
Sure. They have a musk, some of them. I mean,
very, very few. Like, hardly have ever seen. You're more likely to catch a one of those slimy eels, whatever. Those are slimy snakes. Snakes chase people or want to bite.
Yeah, generally not. They don't want to have. They really don't want to have anything to
they
do with you.
They want nothing to do with you.
You've got to walk and into them generally.
Yeah, or make them think that you are a. Are a risk to them, and maybe you're running in the same direction as they're trying to go.
I think the most common myth on here that he's got, I mean, other than the sliminess, is that they're poisonous, right? And of course, snakes are venomous. And that's a common. I think that is more of a colloquial thing than anything else. They realize that it when it bites, you know. But I think that the distinction is important, I don't think that's as much of a I think it's better known than they give them credit for.
It's also not entirely correct, entirely incorrect, because venom is a type of poison.
Exactly, yeah. It's just how it's the delivery mechanism as to whether it's poison or venom, right?
Right. It is poisonous if it comes out of the
skin.
Out of the skin.
Gland, yeah.
And it is venomous if it bites you because it's envenomous.
But it is still a poison, right? I mean, so I just think that it's. I just think
that. If it's still a poison, it's just going directly into your veins instead of, you know, ingesting it or whatever.
I think that when people say snakes are poisonous, that they understand that it's an injected poison as opposed to them, you know, being secreting a poison. I think that most people understand that. I don't think that's as big a myth as they make it out to be. I think that colloquially people will say snakes are poisonous, but they I think they understand.
Right.
Or maybe they don't know that there's a difference. People... Maybe they don't know, but they understand that the injection or that the delivery is different, right? Even if they don't understand.
Like,
that
I mean, it doesn't really matter for most cases whether it's venomous or poisonous.
Yeah.
And whether you get that.
There is a
correct.
Difference, though. There is a difference, though, if you go to the hospital.
Well, okay, sure. But that's true.
Also, a lot of people think
that. And then, like, the doctor will be, like, lecturing you. No, you did not get poisoned by a snake. You got envenomated by a snake.
If you say I was bitten,
yeah.
If you say I was bitten by a poisonous snake, the doctor understands that you were envenomated, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
However,
if you are attacked by a sea snake wanting to mate, you are not envenomated. You are invigorated.
At least the snake was.
Then inseminated.
Yeah.
Oh baby, those ones don't have plugs though.
Yeah, I don't know. Hit your next favorite two, let's say, or
my favorite two.
Yeah, done.
Let me see.
What do you
all
like?
All snakes lay eggs.
So this is true and not true in that the you know like some snakes carry the eggs right and for a period and they call that being gravid and others lay the clutch right. But either way, they all have eggs, right? Maybe, and some are not laying them, I guess. That's technically.
Some are laying them. Some are oviparate, where it goes all the way until they're almost ready to be born, and then drop them out a day or two before, or something like that. Then there's others that actually lay live.
Then it's the same with sharks. Sharks are live bears because they keep their eggs inside them.
Yeah, yeah. Right. But they all actually have eggs, right? They may not lay
them. But they don't lay the eggs. Yeah.
And humans are live bears because they keep their eggs inside them.
Yeah.
Correct. So we're oviparous.
What's your next one?
Huh?
What's the next one?
The next one I have, I'm going to go with the snakes are boring. They have no personality, which is not true. Each snake has a different type of personality depending on themselves. And depending in their actual snake face. I mean, you can say that this type of snake is the type that would be very biting. However, there may be a snake who the snake is one of those type of snakes, but it's not biting. It matters on the snake's personality, how they've been treated, and stuff like that. I mean, there have been snakes people have gotten that other people have really treated badly and will bite as soon as you go anywhere near it. However, there are also ways in which to help in that personality by training them that they're not going to, and their personality changes completely if they want to, basically. Just, you know, you can train them out of it.
Yeah. I like snakes have can unhinge their jaws. And this says that's not, and I always, that always sounded like, that the front jaw bones are not linked together. And so that's how
they have.
Yeah. So there's probably.
So they're kind of not hinged in the first place.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's no unhinging. You know, it's probably ligaments and stuff like that that keep it together, right? So they don't actually,
Yes. Plus the head is very malleable. Easily moved about. So the head itself, the bones also twist and move and, you know, squeeze and contract and stuff. For the food to get down into the esophagus. And you have to remember, in order for something to get through the esophagus into the stomach, it has to be able to swallow the head first.
You're right. And I guess that the jaw wouldn't be hinged because snakes don't have any bone.
Exactly.
That's why we don't have snake bones for Christmas.
You know, Brian, they do have bones, but they're all cartilage.
Oh, I see. I think on those disappointments, we can say goodnight.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
And everybody go out and try to find an octopus skeleton.
That'll be fun.
And that's another one in the can.
If you've made it this far, that's an hour of your time you're never getting back. But the Amateur Skeptics appreciate you giving that hour to us. If you'd like to tell us how you felt about spending that hour with us, let us know at WTF@amateurskeptics.com. The Amateur Skeptics podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike No Derivatives 3.5 license. Intro music by Peter Canold.
Find more of Peter's music at soundcloud.com/PKANOL. Exit Music by OFM. Find more of their music at myspace.com/OFMHQ. Artwork for the Amateur Skeptics by Sean Smith Ford. Copyright Shadow Knight Digital Portraiture.